as I mentioned at that time, it's a very unique organization. It's a coalition of business, education, and government, and it's dedicated to leadership, advocacy, and public policy for the West Valley. And again, I'm very glad that you've taken the time today to be with us. We have a very special program for you, a very esteemed guest. And I'd like to next recognize the elected officials that we have in the room. We have quite a few of them, but I'd like to take the time to honor them and express our appreciation for the dedication and commitment and the time they take as elected officials. We have, and if you could stand when I call your name, and if the audience could hold your applause, please, until full list is announced. We have Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett is here. Or, if you'd rather not hold your applause, he did not bring his guitar today. We have from the Office of the Governor, Chief of Staff Kevin Tine. We have Representative Rick Murphy. And Representative Carl Seal. We have Senator John Nelson. Senator Sarah Pachor. Maricopa County Supervisor Max Wilson. We have a number of mayors here from the city of Avondale, Marie Lopez Rogers. From the city of El Mirage, Fred Waterman. From the city of Glendale, Mayor Elaine Scruggs. From the city of Goodyear, we have Mayor James Kavanaugh. From the city of Litchfield Park, Mayor Tom Schultz. From the city of Peoria, Mayor Bob Barrett. And from the town of Buckeye, Mayor Jackie Meck. We also have Mayor Michael LaValle from the town of Youngtown. We also have a number of vice mayors in the crowd as well. I won't announce all of them, but if you could please stand as well. And council members, too, from the cities in the West Valley. If the council members could stand. Thank you again for your service. We're also honored to have the chairman of the Tohono O'odham Nation, Chairman Ned Norris. And from the nation, the council member Lorraine Eiler. Show our appreciation. Thank you. Well, this is a beautiful facility, and it's a wonderful city, and it's my privilege next to bring to the podium our Glendale host, the Honorable Glendale Mayor, Elaine Swett.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so very much for being here today, and it's really a special honor to be able to extend a welcome to our Governor Jan Brewer. You understand, of course, I'm welcoming her to a building that she owns as a citizen of the city of Glendale. So we're so happy to have you here. But seriously, I would like to just say a few words in recognition. What we're doing today, and what we're doing is we're celebrating Jan Brewer. Twice, we here in the West Valley, especially in Glendale, have asked Jan Brewer to be our state representative, and twice she responded. Five times we asked her to be our state senator, and each time she responded. Twice we asked her to be our secretary of state, and both times she responded. Those nine times that we went to vote, we asked for Jan Brewer's public service and the special abilities and traits that she could bring to those jobs, and each time that she responded. This time, state law called her forward and said, Jan Brewer, you will be governor of the state of Arizona. And today we are here celebrating that. And you know, she and I have talked at various occasions about our close to two decades long acquaintanceship, friendship with each other, and the fact that we've been each other's constituents for all of that time, just my mayor, and I'd say my senator or my supervisor. And there is a lot to celebrate about her. Maybe some of you are going to be meeting her for the first time, but many of you in the room here have known her for a long time, and I think you'll agree with me that the very special things to celebrate really about Jan Brewer and the fact that she has had this service of public service, this life of public service is going to continue, are her character, her moral resilience, excellence, and firmness make her qualified for this job. Her courage, and she is. We and I have talked recently about courage, and it's a state of mind, and Jan Brewer certainly has a very big share of courage. Her enthusiasm. Now, all you have to do is look at that world welcoming smile and you see the enthusiasm. Or even better yet, if you can watch her while she's watching a Cardinals game, you really see the enthusiasm come there. All you have to do is meet her once to know her enthusiasm. Her faith, which she shared with us when she made her inaugural speech, and she talked about how her personal faith creates her inner sense of empowerment. Her wonderful family, and nobody can really do an effective job in public service without a great family. Her family is her support base. And her good humor, which kind of goes along with the enthusiasm. Have you ever stood next to her and heard that infectious laugh? Pretty soon you're laughing like you wish you could laugh every single day of your life. And all of this together rolls up into Jan Brewer's leadership. Jan Brewer does have the courage to make the tough decisions, and she knows she's at a time when she's going to have to. She knows she's going to make some people really unhappy, but will make people happy too. But still, she will make those decisions after giving due consideration to all sides of every aspect. When she makes them, she'll go forward with them with certainty, and that's what we really need, not only in our state, but in our nation. We need to have some certainty about the times ahead. So, you know, I have to learn to say Governor Brewer. She was just saying, you know, we're still running to each other at Walgreens, and I still want to say Jan, you know, but training myself to say Governor Brewer, it's really wonderful, and we want to thank you for being here today in your hometown, Glendale, so that we can celebrate all the service you have already given to us and all the service we know that you're going to continue to give to us. Thank you for being our governor.
Thank you, Mayor Sprouts, for that welcome and the tribute to our new governor that we're celebrating here from the West Valley. West Park is very fortunate to have all of you as members, all of you as great sponsors. Two of our key sponsors that we have are APS and United Healthcare. And what I'd like you to do is welcome the CEO for the Western States of United Healthcare, Ben Davis, to officially introduce the governor. Ben.
Thank you, Jack, for that nice welcome. I am honored to be here and privileged to be here to celebrate the leadership and to introduce our featured speaker today, Governor Jan Brewer. She has lived most of her adult life in the West Valley and has served as an elected official, as we've heard, in many different capacities, has always risen to the occasion when called, and has always served admirably for the West Valley, as well as for, at a much broader level, the entire state of Arizona. She loves this community. I once heard that she is the informal mayor of Sun City in some cases. And also, as I heard, she goes to Walgreens, possibly Costco, and I learned at lunch also Home Depot for gardening supplies. So very much out in the community and very much very visible, a time when we need very active and visible leadership in the state. She is a former member of Westmark, our host here today, and has a great deal of understanding and appreciation for the challenges of the West Valley, but more importantly, the challenges facing the state. Given all the challenges the state is facing, it certainly is no secret that Arizona is challenged relative to possibly other states in these unprecedented times. Her leadership that she will draw on from all her other roles and her personal and family support that she'll receive is exactly what this great state needs right now to tackle these difficult challenges. Her commitment, her integrity, her personal qualities of friendship and leadership will serve us well. And for all the difficult choices that we're all going to face as citizens of Arizona, as citizens of potentially some of the West Valley cities, and certainly looking forward to how Arizona is going to, going to come out of these difficult times much better shape than it is today. And I'm pleased to say that Governor Jan Brewer will certainly make that possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to introduce Jan Brewer, Governor of Arizona. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks to both of you. It's of course very great, and I'm very happy to be back here at Westmark's annual meeting and to see so many familiar faces, many whom I've worked directly with for the past 27 years of my public service. You know, throughout that time, I've seen firsthand how Westmark has become an effective advocate for the West Valley on critical public policy issues like Luke Air Force Base, close to my heart, transportation infrastructure, close to everybody's heart, and the overall quality of life issues. And it's certainly nice to be back here at Westmark with the civic and the business leaders of the community. And moreover, to know that I can speak frankly with all my fellow allies and friends that I've known for years about those issues that are confronting our state today. Before I get too far along in my comments, I do want to express my appreciation to Jack Lunsford, as well as Mike Woodward, and the chairman of Westmark, and certainly Ray Jones, the immediate past chairman of Westmark. And thanks to all of you for setting this up today and this luncheon and giving me that opportunity to speak to the community. I want you to know I really do appreciate it. And as most everyone knows in this room, having lived and worked and represented the West Valley for so many years, now is the time for the West Valley to unify like never before, to work together over the next 2 or 3 years and to help balance what I believe will be some unique opportunities combined with difficult challenges and ultimately help guide our entire state in a positive course and in a positive direction. When I last visited with Westmark prior to taking over as governor, I spoke of the significant challenges in confronting the massive shortfalls in revenue to balance our budget. Since that time, and I can report today, unfortunately, that the fiscal problems that I have inherited is exponentially worse than I first ever expected. There is little doubt that our nation's credit markets have essentially imploded and left the taxpayer holding the bag. And while there may be differing opinions in this room on whether or not it was a good idea that Congress has diverted our hard-earned tax dollars and massive amounts of new federal debt toward reducing and rescuing several mismanaged companies that's insulating them from the consequences of their personal actions. No matter what you think of the bailout or the federal spending bills, the truth remains that this financial storm we're in has left credit very, very tight. Perhaps nowhere is this the case more than in Arizona. Whether you are chief executive officer of a business that was on the verge of expansion, or whether you're ahead of a family that was planning to buy a new home or a new car, we are all being affected by the current financial unrest. As a result, Arizona businesses and families are tightening their belts, cutting spending, exercising greater discipline, and ultimately taking a closer look at the difference between need and want. And it seems to me that at times like this, state government should be no different. The time has come to better understand what our spending priorities are now and what they should be over the next 3 to 5 years. As I will focus in just a minute, given the enormous impact of our economic downturn, combined with poor and unsustainable fiscal management, it seems fairly imperative that we need to start by having all state agencies to cut back on spending. Just last month, we took the necessary first steps to gain control on our state budget. Like many of you, I am not at all happy about the poor and, in some cases, totally irresponsible decisions that were made leading up to this very critical economic recession. Consider these facts. Arizona's budget grew by $4 billion from 2003 to now, yet much of that increase was ultimately balanced by one-time revenue increases or bonding, which only adds to our growing long-term debt. Let me put it in a perspective that I know our businesses out here and the local government members out in the audience that will totally understand. In fiscal year 08 and fiscal year 09, budgets passed previously were based on estimates of nearly 8% revenue increases. In reality, today we are looking at revenues of a negative 12.8%. In financial terms, such unrealistic projections now mean we are millions upon millions of dollars short. Like all of you, when you add the poor management to historic economic recession, you get a state teetering on the edge of financial catastrophe. You know, when I was raised, I was taught early on that you can't spend more money than you make, and further, that you never left yourself totally unprepared and defenseless. Yet, that is exactly what has happened in the last few years. As I mentioned, the budgets from previous years were sustained through one-time revenue sources, windfalls, such as record construction revenues, fund sweeps, and the rainy day fund were all used to maintain current levels of spending. So now, these options are all completely gone. Over the last few weeks, I've started to hear people hang their hopes on the federal stimulus dollars to be the answer to the state budget shortfall. But in reality, that money, providing a bit of short-time help to some extent, little extent, in the long run, it will not come close to covering the state budget deficit that I've inherited. In fact, according to my Office of Strategic Planning and Budget, at best, the federal funding only covers about one-third of the problem for only 2 or 3 years. Added to this huge deficit problem is the fact that nearly 40% of the state budget is off limits to any modernization or updates because of mandated spending passed by initiatives substantially different economic times were in place at those times. That leaves only a few key items as those most vulnerable to budget reductions, such as education, health services, corrections, and other important state agencies. I guess what I'm getting at here is that the budget deficit is more than just a spending problem. It's an economic problem. While spending beyond our means is one of the main culprits, also, we must take the time now to consider reforms that will sustain our most necessary and highest priority responsibilities. In addition, I firmly believe Arizona must be ready to compete for business as the economy recovers. We must replenish the revenues that we received during the construction boom by walking the talk on diversification of our economy. And we must make Arizona an attractive destination to grow employers and to sustain market sectors. In the end, I believe in my heart that the West Valley is going to help us lead our state out of this crisis and to get us back onto a path of prosperity. How? Big question. How? Well, in part, via the financial restraints that I've spoken about earlier, but the fact of the matter is the West Valley still has very positive attributes that will help us increase jobs and attract new businesses. The West Valley affords its citizens an amazingly high quality of life. We have abundant natural resources, reliable utilities, strong infrastructure assets, good weather to attract business, and the people with a strong work ethic. And I have begun doing my part to build jobs as well. My first official directive as governor was to review burdensome regulation that may no longer make sense and to streamline government processes so that employers are more encouraged to grow and to relocate their facilities here in Arizona. To the local government representatives who are here today, let me say that I also know for a fact that you have done much in this past year to reduce spending. And I know that those were painful decisions. That was the water. Part of the pain, maybe. And you did make those painful decisions that they needed to be made in order to keep from going bankrupt. At the state level, we are embarking on a similar mission. Believe me when I tell you, believe me, for example, that our recent cut of $130 million in reductions to education was not easy. But in reality, that cut was 2.2% overall cut. Certainly not what we wanted, certainly not what anybody wanted, but was definitely inevitable following years of unsustainable and unrealistic budgets, now matched with a dramatic economic downturn. You know, my friends, and I mean that sincerely as I look out and see so many of you out there and recognize almost every face in this auditorium, the slowdown of our nation's economy has certainly hurt us. But having been through the hardest of economic challenges before, I can tell you that we can plan and we can prepare for these types of difficult circumstances. Along with the cuts and the asset sales that will have to be necessary to right the ship, we must also start to think wisely about tomorrow, about building up a rainy day fund that is not spent when revenues are still growing. We must rethink how we account for state dollars. We simply cannot allow the people of Arizona to be promised the moon and shortly thereafter be left with a lump of coal. And thanks to my experience in the past, I have been through the tough times, and I am determined that we will get our state back on track, but only if we substantially depart from business as usual. In closing, I want to thank Westmark again for inviting me here to visit with all of you, and I look forward to hearing from you. I remain very bullish that by working together, our ideas, our values, our principles, our way of life will help us completely and compete in the global economy and navigate us out of the troubled waters into a safe and prosperous new harbor. Thank you all.
Something that many of us heard at our annual meeting and economic forecast here in this room not long ago, which is much of the problem now in our economy has become psychological as well as financial. And so when we have someone who is bullish on our state and bringing it back and putting forth that positive hope, that's really important. Thank you very much. And I'm going to ask you now, in front of all of these people, forgive me, since we've known each other so long, if I call you Jan, you know, because I may make that mistake sometime. So, really appreciate Governor being here and our opportunity from Westmark and all of our partners to really introduce you, to celebrate you and your leadership from the West Valley. And as you acknowledge, we have a tremendous amount of leadership in this room already, so please give yourselves a hand for that. Great leadership. I mentioned our partners, and this is one of several opportunities we've had to partner with the West Valley Chamber of Commerce Alliance. And so I'm going to ask Deanna Kupczyk and Don Reinhardt and David Lewis and Diana Bedient, can read my own writing, and Julie Brooks, and I know them all too, and Sherilyn Holman to be recognized, please, if you will. As you've been seeing on the wonderful slide up here, we have great partners also in United Healthcare. Ben, thank you, and thank you for introducing the governor. We appreciate that. Our friends at APS, SCF of Arizona, great partners with us. And for this event, the West Valley Resort at Northern Avenue, we want to thank you all for being part of this. Our silver sponsor, Tri-West Healthcare Alliance, is here with us, and thank you all very much as well. And our bronze sponsors, Cohen Van Loo Consultants and Salt River Project. Please acknowledge all of our sponsors. As I always say, these things don't happen without the people working behind the scenes. And you met most of them. Some of them may even be standing in the room, others are in the back. But Amity, Amber, Dara, Sandy, and even we're going to add Kathy Sensiman. You were part-time on this. Please acknowledge all of their help. Thank you all very much. And lastly, you heard reference in the introduction about the governor's involvement with Westmark for many, many years. In fact, at one time, she was the chair-elect of Westmark. And then the rest of her public service came into play, and she never got to serve in that role. So I'm going to ask our chairman, Mike Woodard, to come back to the microphone, to the podium, for an announcement and a recognition for the governor. Mike, please recognize our chairman, Mike Woodard.
It is the prerogative of the chair and my privilege to honor and add Governor Jan Brewer as an honorary member of the Westmark Board.
Thank you all very much. Thank you again for joining us to celebrate Governor Jan Brewer, leadership from the West Valley, and all of the leadership that we have. Go have a great day, have a safe weekend, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you all very much.